Welcome to Heartbeat, the podcast of the Heart Women's Ministry. Heart is a Catholic women's ministry whose vision is to encourage women in their faith, in their life, and in who God's created them to be. This is a place where you'll hear from some amazing women share from their heart to your heart about who God is, what God's doing in their life, and how they're doing their very best to live out their faith. We pray that you are blessed and inspired. Enjoy Heartbeat. Hello and welcome to our podcast, our Heart podcast for this week. I'm here with Michaela again. How are you going, Michaela?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. I'm glad to hear that you're always good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm always, well, there's always something to be happy about.
Yeah, that's it. That's excellent. So this week, we're just going to jump straight in. We are talking about kindness. We're in a bit of a series at the moment talking about kindness. If you've been watching our weekly Heartbeat videos that go up on online on our website, or you can follow us on Facebook, Heart Ministry for Women, that goes up there too. And we talked about kindness, and this has really come out of, before that, we talked about God's abundant grace. And so from that, we've talked about God's abundant grace, and then we've asked the question, so what does that mean for my life?
Yeah.
How do I live that out? And one of the ways is to be a person of kindness.
Mm-hmm.
So this week we're moving again. We're going to look at all these different aspects. We want to look at today the example of Jesus and how he was kind to others, and therefore how can we emulate that in our life.
So it's kind of following suit from really what we talked about last episode. We talked about 1 Corinthians, how can we be as loving as the God of 1 Corinthians. And so you started off in the talk by speaking about the ways that Jesus was kind, and and almost his like he wasn't picky when it came to who who to be kind to. He practiced kindness in a very radical way.
He was before his time in that sense.
So, and that that way was the way that the fact that he didn't have any prejudice against who he was kind to, whether they were sick or healthy or man or woman or child or adult.
I think it really shows, sorry to interrupt you there, but like that really upside down kingdom that often I've heard people talk about Jesus, like it's not, like it's his kingdom and how we should be treating other people, those around us. I shared in the video this week from Luke chapter 8, which is the story of the hemorrhaging woman and Jairus coming, the synagogue leader, to plead to Jesus, can he come because my daughter's dying? And I really love that story because there's so much in it. Like there's actually a lot going on. You got, you know, the woman who's been suffering from hemorrhaging for 12 years, you know, and Jesus is able to look after that, but then he's also able to go and look after Jairus and the daughter who's died, and just Jesus's kindness is to everyone. Like and nothing was almost too much. Like he had to balance, I suppose, you know, going, oh, I've got to do this and then I'll move to this. But he stopped what he was doing and turned his attention to what was in need.
But, you know, like I think that's something that often kind of amazes me when I'm reading, I mean, any scripture really, is that he always seems to have a couple of things on his plate at once. And it never gets to a point where he's like, my waiting list is full, come back in a month's time, you know? And he only did that, like he only did ministry for 3 years. Mind you, like the ministry he did in 3 years we'll probably not get to in our lifetime. But he did ministry for 3 years, and throughout that whole 3 years he was, you know, not only looking after the public, he had disciples that he was also teaching and caring for. He had women with the group that he was obviously helping out as well. He had his self-care. Jesus, you know, he still had time to go and pray by himself, which I find amazing.
Sometimes it's such a struggle to fit into my day.
So that's just something mind-blowing to me. I think so many times Jesus' kindness was something that not only stopped him in his tracks and helped him change, well, not helped him, but changed his direction towards multiple different tasks. But Jesus' kindness is also something that throughout generations has stopped us and changed our directions and changed our directions from being unkind to more kind.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, I hadn't, I suppose, thought about that next aspect, like Jesus stopped and changed, but how many other people were stopped in their tracks because of that action? Yeah, because of his kindness, like this awe and shock of, wow, did he really just do that? Like, amazed.
You spoke about the feeding of the 5,000, and at the time, in the chapter beforehand, John's head was served on a silver platter.
Yep.
At the request of a woman, to the king, and Jesus, I mean, that was his best friend.
Yeah.
If you think about it realistically, like obviously they don't say like they were BFFs the Bible.
Yeah.
But
he didn't see him necessarily hang a lot together, but. Yeah.
Yeah, but they were really close.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you can read it in a story context and be like, oh, he was sad, so he wanted alone time. But if you think about it in a realistic way, because these are real stories, if I had just got a phone call right now during this podcast, during this recording session in this very room, oh, your best friend's or one of your closest friend's heads was just chopped off and they're dead.
Yeah.
Like, they were brutally murdered.
Yeah.
The grief would be insane.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
You would be...
I can't actually even imagine.
You wouldn't be like, I'm sad, but I can keep doing what I'm doing. You would be, like...
Devastation.
Devastation.
Yeah.
I mean, bosses these days would give you a lot of time off, I'm hoping, if they're a good boss.
I think so.
And be like, stay home.
Yeah.
Grieve.
Yeah.
Take your time. Here are all these resources to help you, but... Jesus, he heard this news, and he was like, okay, I need to just go grieve for a little while. And he didn't even have the chance because 5,000 men, which means, and after I think it's amazing that after every time they write 5,000 men, they also go, not including women and children.
Yeah. So that was a little subtitle.
Yeah. And so you think about, okay, a lot of these men were married. They probably had more than one child each, maybe two, three. And that means that...
There's a good few thousand.
More than 10,000
yeah, that's
probably
right.
Is the realistic number.
Yeah.
And so I think about that, and I think that's just absolutely crazy. And that's the radical kindness that we're talking about. But not only did he give in terms of teaching, but he kept giving.
Yeah.
You know, I gave them words of encouragement. I also gave them dinner.
Yeah.
I also had lots of leftovers.
I'm sure he healed the sick and everything like that at the same time. I think the thing from, I think it's in that particular story, it uses the words he was moved with compassion.
Mm.
And a lot of the stories in the Bible where Jesus stops to do something, it says he's moved with compassion. And I love that, like just those words, because it makes me then think, so when I'm doing something and I get stopped because I see a situation, am I moved with compassion?
Yeah.
Because I think it shows my heart that there is a real genuine, like, you know, a genuine care for others if I am moved by compassion.
Definitely. And there's a difference between, oh, I should help and, oh, I feel like I need to help these people.
This really deep, like there's just such a depth to it. And that's what I love about Jesus. And what we can see from him is that depth of he just had, like, it's like he had no option.
Yeah, it wasn't
God,
like
he's moved to compassion. He has to. Yeah. Like, yeah. But not out of a have to because I have to get a task done. But I have to because there's just this innate part of me that loves people that I need to help.
Yeah. And that's the thing that amazed me about the feeding of the 5,000 is that there was no, like, oh, I'm obligated to talk to these people. It's just a task I need to do and then I can get back to my grieving.
Mm.
It was, like, this innate desire that he would not... he couldn't just be like, oh, I have to help them.
Mm.
It was, I have to help them.
Yeah.
Like, it was every fibre of his being that wanted to be there with them.
Which then makes me think... So how do I do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not God, I'm not divine. How do I have that desire in me if it doesn't come naturally?
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to think exactly what it was. There was something the other day at home. I might have been on the phone or something. Anyway, there was a I remember only thinking in the last few days, there was a situation where I got really frustrated and angry. And I didn't have any compassion. And I remember thinking a few seconds after that situation, like I walked into the laundry and I remember thinking, Emma, why aren't you compassionate in this situation? Like someone's just, you know, gone through something and you're just like, oh, well, too bad. Like, why aren't you naturally just going, oh, I feel sorry for them? Like, I wish I remember the situation, but I remember thinking not caring about it as opposed to, oh, wow, I feel so sorry for them. I wish I could help. Or like, and just that question in my head, Emma, why aren't you compassionate for these people? Mm. Like, where did the frustration and anger and not caring attitude come in me as opposed to a compassionate one?
Yeah. Well, it makes me think about myself even. Like, I can see, I mean, these are all over the internet, all over TV. There's these like sad slow-mo videos where companies who are helping overseas with different things or different mission companies and things, they have these like really sad, like sad piano and like a crying baby, and you feel this
moved.
Originally I feel moved, and then as time goes on I almost become like,
yeah, I know what you're gonna say,
kind of, I almost feel like what's the word, like callous, I have a callous, you know, you do gymnastics and it hurts your hands for a while, and then eventually you have these kind of
a build up there,
tough skin that stops that pain.
So when you see those ads, you're just like, oh yeah, there are sick kids, or there are like, and you just don't think anything about it.
But then there are times where I catch myself and I'm like, you are watching something horrifically sad.
Yeah.
And I'm the type of person who cries at movies. Yeah. I cry when I see babies sometimes. I'm quite a crier. So for someone as emotionally, not explosive, as emotionally expressive as me, for me to see something that's meant to move you.
And it doesn't.
It's designed specifically to move you and it doesn't.
Yeah.
That just shows how indifferent we can become if we're not conscious.
That's right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So therefore then how do we change that? How do we, you know, and I think it does come with an intentional ask and a prayer of, God, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to not care about things. I don't want to be like, oh, well, someone got themselves into a bad situation. Too bad, it was their fault.
Yeah.
Like, even if, yes, it was their fault, I still want to be moved for compassion for them. So I do think it just starts with that prayer of, God, would you change my heart in this situation?
Yeah. And in addition to that, I think something that really helps me is, like, am I looking at acting with kindness towards a person? Am I looking at that as like a task, or am I looking at the situation as like an action towards a person? Because I think when I'm more people focused, when I'm more focused on the actual humanity of the person that I'm acting towards, all of a sudden it becomes a lot easier to empathize,
as opposed to I just need to get something done.
And it's not even like we were speaking before, oh, you know, Jesus is heading towards a task and he stops and then he changes direction. But I think sometimes I can look at kindness as a task. I can look at, oh, you know, for example, I don't know, someone needed help on the weekend. Oh, that's another plan I have to add to my weekend. Like, that's a really easy way for us to be honest, like, is
often in my head a lot. Oh, yeah, okay, got to go help do this. Yeah, it's like something I have to do.
Yeah.
You're right, as opposed to,
it becomes a burden rather than like a,
I genuinely want to help someone.
An act of free love.
So I think we do have to be intentional in, God, would you change my heart?
Yeah.
To be to be people focused, and therefore that would hopefully move my heart.
And I think in that same stream of being people focused, when Jesus showed kindness to people, you said that he was showing them respect, he was restoring their dignity, and he was reminding them of their value. And I think that shows that Jesus was the same. He was very people focused. He was focused not on, oh, the woman touched my cloak and got healed, but he was moved to see her as as a person.
Yes. Yeah.
He was moved to see her as a person, as someone who deserved his kindness, not as, I'm giving her a free pass. I'm giving of myself to her, but you deserve part of me, part of my kindness, or the fullness of my kindness. And I think that is something that makes it easier for us to be kind to people in the end. So going to this Bible story that we were just speaking about, actually I actually had a thought, and the thought was that it was a few things that kind of revealed more about Jesus' character that could, if we develop those things within ourselves, could make us naturally more kind, yep. as opposed to having to strive to be kind.
Yes, yeah.
And so the first thought that I had was that God challenges us, just like Jesus was challenged within these situations, to notice the opportunity. To surprise someone by going further than further in our kindness than is expected of us, you know. And I think that that in itself is a success at being radical in our kindness as opposed to just generally kind.
Yes, yep.
My second thought was that Jesus showed this the kindness to the woman who touched the hem of his robe. When everyone had rejected her and she had nothing left to give, I think you kind of touched on the fact that she'd spent all her money on doctors. Yeah. She'd basically been rejected by society. And so the fact that Jesus didn't care about her status and about what people thought of her or what she could give him in return, I think that it begs to question of us. Are we good at reaching out to people who have been rejected by other people
yeah.
who might not be appealing to be kind to? And do we expect something in return? Because if so, it's not really genuine kindness. It's almost like a transaction.
Yes, yeah.
My third thought was that we speak about how Jesus says, oh, she's only sleeping, and people kind of laugh at him and they're like, she's obviously dead, dude. Yeah. Like, come on.
Yeah.
And Jesus is adamant that, no, she's going to wake up.
Yeah, yep.
Don't worry, she's just sleeping right now. And so the question that brought out within me was, am I willing to be kind to even when I'm discouraged from it? So if I'm with a friend and I see someone who deserves my kindness and I go, oh, that this has happened to me so many times.
I can understand,
Where I see someone and I'm like, I think I should reach out to them. And the person next to me goes, oh, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. It's okay. They'll be fine without us.
Just leave them. Yeah, yeah, yep.
They can handle it.
Mm.
But is that something is that the sort of person that I want to be, where I see someone and I am moved and I let my surroundings and the people around me to condition me to walk away from kindness?
Yep. Rather than taking action. Yeah. I've been in those situations too.
So I had a few things that really brought up within me. Almost my old boss at my old job, he used to say, you know, he used to give these really beautiful talks about stewardship and about kindness in the workplace and all these sort of things to develop us as employees and as people. And he used to say at the end of every talk, which would get me so mad originally, was, if you're feeling offended by this and it's rubbing you the wrong way, then it probably means you need to think about it more and develop these things that I'm talking about. And I used to be so mad because I would be offended and I'd be like, no, I'm offended because you're bringing up in rude thing, or like not rude things, but you're bringing up things that aren't meant to be talked about at work or whatever. Yeah. But the reality was that I'd conditioned myself to be unkind naturally and to be self-serving.
So you're challenged.
Yeah. And so I think this story, even though I'm sure a lot of mature Catholics have heard this story 100 times, the challenge is to read it with this intentionality that we spoke about last episode and then to be challenged and to feel offended. Jesus loved in such a way that was entirely offensive to everybody who didn't love the same way that he did, because he loved in a perfect way.
Yeah.
And we love
imperfectly.
Sometimes in a self-serving way, sometimes in an ingenuine way.
Yeah.
Sometimes in a way that we feel like we're obligated to be kind rather than we have a desire.
Yeah. Yeah. Certainly a challenge for me not to see it as a task at times, like, oh, better just do that and get that done. And even though it is being kind to someone, as in the person may feel kindness, didn't mean my heart was necessarily a kind heart, even though the receiver might have received kindness. There's the difference there, I think. I think some of the things for me to think about if I want to question my heart and how I'm being kind are things like, though, how often do I change direction for others? Like, how often do I actually stop what I'm doing and put someone else first? How often do I become annoyed by interruptions when we have yeah. other things to do? I think that annoyance can show that I don't really want to help because I'm frustrated that you stopped what I need to get done. I need to get yeah. this done by a certain time. And one challenge that I certainly have is, how often do I ignore people? How often do I cease a situation that I should be moved with compassion, like we're talking about before, mm-hmm. and how often do I ignore? And if I do, I feel like that's, I suppose, an alarm bell to me. Hey, Emma, check your heart. Like, you should be moved with compassion for this yeah. thing. Yeah. So I think when it comes to the weekly challenge this week, I mean, there's lots for us to be challenged by, but what I've written here is, can you stop to listen and change direction to be kind for someone this week? I'll say it again. So the weekly challenge for this week is, can you stop to listen and change direction to be kind to someone this week? I think it's a challenge. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Worship song of the week.
So each week we like to suggest to you a worship song that we think might assist you in your prayer life or maybe just really move you. And so this week I really wanted to speak about a song called God is Love, and it's by a man named Chris Renesma. I love that last name. When I first saw his name, I said, Renesma, because I just thought it was amazing. And the first verse was the thing that really captured my attention. So I'm going to read the lyrics out and then I'm going to speak about what they mean to me. The first verse says, how great this love. It's moving all my mountains. It's perfect love. It's casting out my fear. How great this love. It welcomes me like family. And anywhere I go, it meets me there. And so to me, this song speaks about a love and kindness that isn't earned, but it's freely given. As you go further through the song, this is even further proven. A love that casts out doubts and fear and is welcoming. Although this song is about God's love, I think that listening to these lyrics and listening to this song, I really started to ask some solid questions about the kind of love that I offer to the people that I encounter. And I think that you can ask that same question of yourself. So the song is God is Love by Chris Renesma, and I hope you enjoy.
So,
what? Scripture for this week is in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 32, and it says this: be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, when I read this scripture, I think, oh, it seems simple and pretty straightforward at first. Be kind and compassionate. You know, yes, I try to be kind in my life, but then I think the key aspect is at actually the end of the sentence where it says the words, just as in Christ God forgave you. And to me, that talks about the depth that is in this scripture, as in the depth that God wants us to be kind, the depth that God wants us to be compassionate to the others, the depth that he wants us to forgive other people. And if I want to put this into practice in my life, then the way I should be kind to other people, the way I should be compassionate to others, is to first think about how is God compassionate and kind to me? And we know that he is the ultimate person of kindness, the ultimate compassionate person, as he was moved to kindness and compassion to us all the time. And then that's how I should live out the way that I'm kind and compassionate to other people. There's a depth to it that goes more than what I would originally think kindness is to other people. And it's a challenge, but that's what that scripture means for our lives, that when we are living our life out, when we're treating other people, we should be doing it in a way as God would do it to them, as God would be compassionate, kind, and forgiving to them. So it is a challenge for us, but I hope that it encourages you this week that we can be like that to others because of knowing that Christ first did it for us.
Spotlight.
So each week we like to shed a spotlight on a resource or a person or maybe even a book that has been moving us in our faith journey or that we think could move you. And this week I wanted to talk about something interesting and a little bit different. It's a TV show that is available via app on our iPads and phones, or you can look it up on the website, which I will tell to you after I've described it. This show is called The Chosen. And it's a really, really beautiful show. It's a television drama that was released, I'm not sure, maybe last year or this year, on the life of Jesus Christ. And it's created and directed and co-written by an American filmmaker, Dallas Jenkins. It's the first multi-season series about the life of Christ, and season one was the highest crowdfunded TV series or film project of all time. Mm. The series creators stated that they hoped to distinguish the new series from the previous portrayals of Jesus by crafting a multi-season episode-based story. And the series portrays Jesus through the eyes of those who met him, aka his disciples. Now, I don't know about you, but when I've read the Bible in the past, oftentimes I'm very Christ-focused, which is not a problem. I'm often trying to figure out the person of Jesus and discover more about him and gain further knowledge of him. But something I haven't thought about as much is the character and the stories of the disciples and how they met Jesus and maybe how their lives were changed by him. So in watching this series, I started this week, I've really begun to kind of weave this web around Jesus of what his life actually looked like and what his friendships looked like and how he interacted with the world, because I'm seeing the way that he interacted with his disciples through the eyes of the disciples and from the stories of the disciples. This show is translated into 50 languages and counting, which is absolutely crazy. It's consistently ranked in the top 50 entertainment apps on iOS and Android. It's completely free to watch on the app, which is really awesome, and it connects directly to streaming devices with no fee or subscription necessary. And they actually generate their income for the television show and for future seasons. Right now they're working on season two, when viewers choose to pay it forward, which means to donate, to give online or on the app. And that actually funds their filming and all their actors and the set design and everything like that. It's really, really beautiful. So if you would like to check this out, you can either go to studios.vidangel.com/the-chosen. Or on your phone, you can look up the app, The Chosen, and download it. And I can guarantee that you will really have a great time watching this. I sure have.
So that's our podcast for this week. We hope you have enjoyed it, but we also know that you've probably been quite challenged by it, but we hope that that would grow you and cause you to be more like Christ. So our weekly challenge this week is, can you stop to listen and change direction to be kind for someone this week? We hope to hear from you. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook, Heart Ministry for Women. We'd love to hear from you. You can like us, share us with your friends. And I know that Michaela's also put together something on Spotify.
Yes, we actually have a Spotify playlist now. So as well as listening to our podcast on Spotify and the iPodcast app, you can also now listen to all the songs that we've suggested in episodes past and in future episodes that are coming up. You can just hit follow on that on that playlist, which is called
Heart Catholic Women.
Heart Catholic Women,
but
our
you'll
favorites.
Find us on Heart Ministry for Women as well if you look that up. Yeah. Our favourites, that's right, you call it Our Favourites.
Yes.
So yeah, if you look that up, you will see all the songs that Michaela suggests every week, which hopefully will enhance your worship, which will be awesome. So we hope that you have a great week, a blessed week. We hope to hear from you about the challenge, and we will talk to you all next week.
Bye.